This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey there, everybody. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. So, this episode is a companion piece to an episode on one of my 30,000 other podcasts. I'll just name a couple of them. Got Me a Movie, that's my latest one. That's not a companion piece to that one. That's with Elby from Vincent Price's Laugh, which is another one. Vincent Price's Laugh is all genre stuff, like so horror and thriller. And Video Night, the very first podcast I was ever on, is the show that this episode will be a companion piece to. So Video Night had an episode about Relentless Action, and I mostly curated the list, but I couldn't really get too crazy with it because the host kind of can't handle certain kind of camera work movies. So a lot of super kinetic he's not too keen on. It messes with his brain, equilibrium and stuff. So not the movie Equilibrium, that's lame. Anyway, this is one that on that show that I really wanted to talk about because it is Relentless Action. So, John, what did we just watch?
We watched Hardcore Henry.
You're gonna love this.
Hardcore Henry has just changed the action genre landscape forever. Everything is inventive. An unrelenting, uncompromising, exhilarating cinematic experience.
Cut!
The future of cinema is here.
Henry!
Hardcore Henry, rated R.
Or just Henry. Or just Hardcore.
Well, just Hardcore.
I know.
Yes. Well, Hardcore Henry makes it sound like it's a biopic of Henry Rollins and the band Black Flag or something.
Maybe. Yeah, that would actually be funny.
And Hardcore definitely fits for this.
Yeah, it was originally called Hardcore when I first heard of it, and I first heard of the director. I'm not even going to attempt to say his name. He's a Russian feller.
Yeah, Ilya Naishuller.
All right, you attempted and succeeded.
Yay!
Try this one. The producer of this movie was like, I saw your music video, and I want to make a movie of it. And who is that producer?
Timur Bekmambetov.
What?! You did it! You're probably reading.
I wrote it down.
Written down phonetically?
No.
Oh, well.
I just
better
wrote it down as it is. But yeah, I knew about the Timur stuff, you know, from all the ads and stuff. I had no idea who this guy was. And
yeah, he's in a band. Do you know this band?
Yeah, Biting Elbows.
Yeah, just try to do that right now, John. Yeah. Try to bite your elbow. Do it.
Almost.
I can't even try. My arms are so long. Like, everything's so far away from me, I can't even.
But yeah, it's like, after seeing the film and then looking it up, I was interested, so I looked up the Bad Motherfucker video, the one that really got him.
Yeah.
Basically got him the film, although it's that song and another one called Stampede, which he directed and basically stars in, basically are mini versions of
they're
Henry.
Slightly different, like time travel or portal jumping sci-fi, where he's got a little trigger and he presses it and he shows up wherever else he wants to be, I guess.
They are both first-person little camera rigs
GoPro
attached
stuff.
To the guy's head, and he's running around doing all this cool stuff.
In that other episode for Video Night was a movie called Daylight's End. Nah, wasn't that relentless. A Jet Li movie, Kiss of the Dragon, which has good 60% is relentless action and the other 40 is downtime. A good chunk of this episode was the parkour movies District B-13. And its American cousin, Brick Mansions, which was pretty good still, considering what it is, but kind of like too little too late. Those movies are what this movie is if the camera was strapped to the parkour king. That's what this movie is, except with tons and tons of sci-fi.
Yeah, this is definitely a film where if you get motion sick, do not watch this film.
Yep, I saw this in the theater, you know.
Yeah, I remember seeing the ads and I was curious about this, but I had a feeling, and I don't get motion sick, but seeing how kinetic this film was, from the ads, I don't think I could have sat through it in the theater. I would have had to go outside in the lobby and just take a few moments.
Well,
because, you know, on the TV, and I got a pretty, you know, not to brag or anything, I got a pretty decent-sized TV, but yeah, it was manageable.
John, it's a regular-sized TV. You're just a tiny, tiny person.
Okay, true. I am a giant midget, so everything that's probably normal looks huge to me.
I have the absolute opposite. I am a giant, everything else is tiny. I can hold like a 32-ounce glass or something in my hand, and it looks like a thimble. I'm just poking at you anyway. I did, as a youngster, get carsick in the theater. Towards the end, I got queasy, but not I never got barfy. I always got like a burpee. That's what it was. I always just had to hold my breath. And that's kind of what I had to do at the end of this movie.
How shall I say this? This is the sort of film that you can respect for a lot of stuff, because in the end, about 10 different people played Henry. So 10 people had this camera rig attached to their heads, running around doing stuff. But essentially 3 people, and I like the fact that the credit is shot by. It's essentially shot by 3 people. You know, you had Sergei I can't say his last name.
Ha ha! You failed!
Valyevev. Yeah. He was, I guess, the first guy who was playing Henry, and it ended up hurting his neck, so he couldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
The next guy, who is actually in the film, too, the guy who plays Slick Dimitri, Andrei Domenitiv, he was also Henry. So if you want to have an idea of what Henry looks like, it's Slick Dimitri. And also, the director also plays Henry at various points in the film. And then 7 other people, but that's probably for, like, little random moments.
So let's get into the story.
Okay. The story...
It starts off with the little kids picking on him.
Yeah, and Tim Roth is his father, and his father does not exactly have nice things to say about young Henry.
Or so we're led to believe.
You little pussy.
So then it cuts to the credits, the opening credits, which is some of the most beautifully nauseating scenes of violence I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's...
This could be called Ultraviolence the Movie, I think.
Yeah, the title sequence is a beautiful sequence of violent images. Maybe second only to the opening of Zombieland in interesting violence.
No, it's not a second. It's a number one, dude. There's a serrated knife going through
going
a dude's
into the guy's
neck
and
going into it and coming out of it. And it's just so... No, dude. I really don't know how they could... get it into the theaters.
True.
To me, it's an NC-17.
Yeah, I would agree. That really does feel like that would have been a point of contention with that. And yet, yes, this film squeaked by with some sort of R rating. As far as I know, they didn't have to fight for it or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, MPAA, what we would have gotten, the thing that I saw, you know, on my TV screen on Showtime, I think it was, is it's impressive, I guess, to say that they got that through.
Absolutely. I don't think that this movie was cut either. So, after the credits, we have a guy apparently laying in a tank of water. His eyeball is put back. Both of his eyes are actually, like, this is such a weird scene because it's like a blurry split screen where the center isn't a hard line. It's blurred together because it's 2 eyeballs being put back into his head, and he gets woken up.
Yeah, I was going, what the heck is... Okay. That's...
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting way of doing that, and yeah, we get Henry basically kind of being pieced together.
It's just a dude. He's got tattoos. He's laying there. His left arm and his left leg are incomplete. Those are actual human left arm and legs, but he gets cybernetic implants. So he gets a fake forearm and hand and a calf down to his foot. And I think that's really it, other than his eyes. I'm sure his eyes are cybernetic.
Later on, we kind of get a chance to see how much of his body has been reconstructed, as well as a few...
Oh, all of his leg. I'm looking at it right now. All of his leg, a bunch of his chest, his other arm might have been, but definitely that one hand with the metal knuckles.
When we kind of get down to it, we hear a little bit about the injuries he sustained prior to it, and it's, the arm, the leg, the face, his face got really messed up.
So, think about this, it's like kind of like he's Weapon X or something.
Yeah.
Current action, kids, he's like Weapon X, kinda.
Kids these days will know that.
But, a little older, he's like Universal Soldier, a Unisol.
Well, he's also the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, so it's like a combination of these things. They piece them together. The lady doctor is also his wife, somehow.
Yeah, Estelle.
And she ushers him over to the voice console so that they can program his voice and so he can talk. But before that happens, a very comic book villain enters the room.
Yes. Henry, right?
How would you like the new you?
Did I interrupt the procedure? Can Henry not talk yet?
Yeah, this guy named Akan, who... And I was watching this with my girlfriend, and she had seen this before and basically pointed out, I think he's blind.
Hmm.
Because he never really makes eye contact with anyone. He's always kind of, you know, looking away and out of the corner of his eye and stuff. So, I mean, unless he's just a really weird character.
I will tell you, he has contact lenses on, but his pupils are black. So his pupils are the only thing that are registering sight. So the retina and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I noticed that his eyes were different, and then noticing his mannerisms in that in the later scene. It really does. It felt like it was a choice because of kind of how he kind of, he's snake-like almost. Mm. He's, you know, kind of slithering around and doing things, and it's interesting mannerisms.
He reminds me of Crispin Glover in a way, just visually. But then he doesn't talk like Crispin Glover. He talks like a Russian douchebag.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's just very sleazy, bro attitude of arrogance type of thing. And he kills one of the lab technicians, or two of them, whatever.
He has psychic powers.
Yeah, I don't really know why he does this. He just does it to just, like, brag, I can do this. And he does it through his telekinesis. He, like, lifts him up and kills him.
Well, it really seems, because of later revelations, all this stuff seems like it is part of his plan. He has to make these shows a force. He has to... Let's boil this down to one thing first. This movie is basically like watching someone speedrun a first-person shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all POV.
All the logic of the film follows basically video game logic. Because Henry's given nav points, he has a cell phone that he has to follow his nav points on, they're essentially quest givers. There are certain sections that are very much like out of a video game. This film isn't much in the way of story or character development, necessarily.
For being an anonymous person.
He's very much a cipher for, if you're, again, playing a game, this is the player character, so it's you bring whatever.
But I don't find, for some strange reason, I don't find the character stuff lacking.
Well, there is little, because I don't want to get into it yet, but there's stuff about Henry's character that basically he is anybody. He is very much a non-person, whereas, yeah, the other characters do have a little more built out, especially Charlton Copley's character. He definitely has the biggest character of this film.
Right, he actually has all of the backstory. Okay, yeah. Let's get into it. He escapes from the facility and from Akan. His wife also escapes with him, except then she is taken hostage. And there's too many guns, so he has to run away.
Yeah, he gets shocked and knocked into a parking lot off of a freeway that they land on, and he attempts to fight back, but he's seriously outmatched.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything yet, right? But then he keeps on hearing this voice, which is Charlton Copley. He actually walks up. The voice stuff comes later. He walks up, Charlton Copley's like,
"You're a rabbit in the headlights, aren't you? It's all right. I'm not here to hurt you. Is your speech module installed?" "Yeah." "Well, at least we know you're not deaf. It's all right, you can put your hands down now."
"3 years I've been waiting for this moment. I'll get Charlie Chaplin."
You're talking video game. What is Charlton Copley's character type called?
In a sense, he is the main NPC. Like in, trying to think of multiple first-person shooters where you have these things, but he's your main squad member. He's the guy who is leading you around, and then he's kind of, in a way, following you at moments, because he's
helping out
Henry, but he tells him just enough to get him to the next point, and then he shows up again.
Yeah, but this is amazing. This is the fun stuff, and this is what confused me when I was watching the trailer, that were just segments with Charlton Copley in it. He plays a differently dressed Charlton Copley almost every scene.
Yeah.
And for the clips, I was like, okay, wait, so he's dressed as an old British Army man. Okay, so he's dressed as a Mohawk punk. So, okay, wait, so what?
Now he's out of Reservoir Dog. Yeah.
What is going on? How is this? So then when I watch the movie, it starts...
He gets shot at a lot and killed, and you don't understand how he keeps coming back. And it's bizarre, but the film never dwells on it. Henry doesn't seem to care. He just rolls with it.
Yeah, Henry, well, he has to. He can't voice anything. And he's always got a forward momentum. There's never a time where he's like slowing down. He can't slow down. He also has to get his heart back. He's got a battery.
Yeah, his first objective is to power himself up.
And that way it reminded me of Crank.
Although, I will say this, I enjoyed this film, but I think the funniest, because this film has weird, funny moments in it. And I think the best one is where he's, you know, Charlton Copley's first death has happened, and he's underground. He's like in a underground mall area, and he's hiding from cops. And he gets into this woman's little kiosk here, and he's starting to get dressed. And then the phone rings, and she just is staring at this guy, and he looks up, just slowly turns the ringer off, and he gets back to her, fights his way out. And just that awkward moment of...
Right.
The phone ringing, and she's just, "I'm not gonna mess with this guy." Click.
Yeah, so there is humor all throughout. But the concept of men are expendable, almost the only characters at all that get shot at or killed are men, until you get to the brothel. And then, of course, it flips that, and the women are seen as the sex objects and all that stuff. And Charlton Copley, one of his avatars, is...
this coke fiend who is just really into the girls.
So he leaves the room while our hero is, like, winding down. And he comes back into the room, and he's the nebbish, nerdy kind of nice guy, Copley. And the girls were like, I know what'll help recuperate this guy. And they start to undress Henry.
Yeah.
As if it's like totally playing on dude fantasies. They all look the same. They all have short blonde hair. They're all topless with perfect boobs and black thongs. And I think from the Russian perspective of things, like masculinity and femininity and stuff, there are definite roles. And I don't think that they adhere to our current Western American theory of gender politics.
Although, I do think there's an interesting moment, and where the nerdy nebbish one comes in.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of berates himself.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness, what have you done? What have you done this time, Jimmy?
Because the coked-up version is starting to work on Henry, and then he just passes out. He can't do it because he's so messed up. So this other one comes in, and he's just...
He finally has another face-to-face with the... he's also albino. We didn't mention that. He's got white hair.
No, he didn't.
White eyes. Albino. And that guy throws a brothel lady at him. Like, that's in the trailer even. And I was like, oh, I guess it's a Red Band trailer. But throws her at him. And then the fight ensues. And of course, he gets away. And eventually, the deal is, he does meet the real Jimmy Charlton Copley character.
Oh, there's one thing I have to mention, because in between meeting the real Charlton Copley and, you know, you'd have that vehicle chase, which was awesome.
He just jumps from vehicle to vehicle to onto the back of a motorcycle, onto the top of a car. Was it a car or a motorcycle?
He was driving a motorcycle.
Through a van?
Yeah, there were a motorcycle, the bad guys were in vans.
It's just insane. Stuff is crazy.
But the dominatrix chick that's with them?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is her, because there's two dominatrix chicks. I believe it's the one that is in that car chase, and then later on when they're patching up Henry after the chase. That is the woman who actually also did the score.
Oh.
Yeah. I might be wrong, but I think that's it, because they never...
So they're with Vietnam vet-looking Charlton Copley?
Yeah. Yeah, the weird hippie...
The coolest thing about that scene is that the subtitles are a mess.
Yeah.
And it's just, they know that you can't follow the subtitles because they keep yelling at each other too fast. So all of their subtitles are overlaying on top of each other because that's a visual joke. Blech. It's pretty fun. But those ladies are actually the...
I believe they actually run it. But
yeah,
they, again...
But they were like...
They also...
Muscled out.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And she gives us our brothel back. Which is just weird. Like, it's very difficult to pick up that detail, but it's there. So after that big old insane car chase, they get to... Oh, probably the worst scene in the film to me.
Oh, the police about to rape that woman?
Yeah. And they're like, just get out of here. Just leave. And he goes and takes the police out and kills them all. Like, rightfully so. Because that's horrible what they're doing. But was that really...
Was it...
Is police corruption rampant like that across the world? And I'd hate to say yes, but apparently in our films... The answer is yes.
Well, there's also that scene earlier where they get pulled over and the cops are... Because Charlton Copley tries to, like, bribe them, if I remember that right. Because he's handing them, like, a ID, and I think there was some money also there. Where he's like, let's ignore the fine or something like that.
Yeah. Well, to go back to that other podcast, Kiss of the Dragon had to do with police corruption. Like, that's what that whole movie was about. One man against that corrupt police force. Kiss of the Dragon was French. This is Russian. American movies always have them, but they're much more dramatic. They're not relentless action-y or anything. It's just always like nail-biting. Will they be found out or not? But Europe just goes, yes, and let's kill them. Russia, apparently, yes, and let's kill them. Okay, I'm not going to say don't kill them. They were about to brutalize and possibly murder a girl. So I'm just saying, why was it even there? For real.
Yeah, it's not necessary to the threadbare plot that we have. It's just an additional scene of Henry messing people up.
It just seemed like, just kill a bunch of cops. You have to give them a reason why. And there you go. Horrible, worst, blah. So, then
we get to Jimmy's lab.
Yeah, Jimmy. The real Jimmy. He's a dude in a wheelchair. And why is that?
Because he originally was working for ACAN and was developing the super soldiers that ACAN wants, like Henry, and got punished for messing up.
He can't get the brains to work right.
I've lobotomized everything not essential to soldiers. Personal memories, speech, sense of taste, it's all gone. May still have a bit of an issue with emotional motivation, which...
Motivation?
So, he gets punished for that and broken into two. basically.
And all these Jimmys that we've been following are his avatars that he's created.
They're little clones. They look exactly like him, and he grows them.
They're test tube babies who have, like, rapid growth.
So he can grow them in, like, a week or something.
He has a bunch of them, and then there's an impromptu song and dance number.
Yes.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin.
Which is great. Literally the weirdest part of the movie. Charlton in and out of the scene, dressed in various different clothings, the British soldier guy, and so on. And it's actually a much needed not action part of the movie. And the camera work is just...
Just following these dance steps. So it's the least amount of kineticness of this film is basically this moment.
Yeah, and much needed too, because up until this point, we're just inundated with this.
Yeah, and there's a thing to be said about doing the film this way, but you also lose a lot of what's going on because it's just so frantic, and again, a camera attached to a head, so you know, all these quick pans, and you can't half the time, especially in the brothel shootout,
right,
you can't really follow what's happening. It's just chaos upon chaos, and if you have motion sickness, do not watch this film.
Even that, think about this. Your own first-person thing. There's this thing about memory and recall. There's a certain kind of blindness that we all have because we can't register that much information, so our minds shut off certain parts of our periphery so that we can't overload our brains. So if we were to see somebody walking down the street holding what looks like a gun in his hand, and then there's a commotion, and then we're asked, what did you see? We might go, a guy was walking down the street holding a gun. We might add in the gun. We're not trying to lie, but it's like an impression that we got. So we say he was holding a gun. But the real story is he was holding a Walkman, and the commotion happened in somebody else's house, and he was walking the opposite direction. Recall is the scientifically proven thing that our recall is really wonky. And so this movie puts that to test. Like, I have notes in front of me. I have a screen of information in front of me right now to help me get through this, as opposed to just trying to pull it out of my brain.
You know, I got pretty extensive notes about the plot that as I'm writing them down. And most films, my notes are fairly straightforward and I can get them down in easy ways. This film, considering how quickly it moves, required me to pause the film so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's blink and you miss it almost.
Other than the dance number, there are some other weird choices made. The flamethrower guy.
Yeah, he shows up early in the film, and it's weird because he doesn't look like, Jimmy says he's wearing a coat. He's making fun of them until he gets flamethrowered. But he looks like he's armored because he gets shot at and it doesn't seem to bother him. But it doesn't look like armor either.
It's like a reflective geometric. It's very polygonal. Polygonal?
Yeah.
Polygonal.
Polygonal. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe it's a nod to computer games and how everything's made up of polygons.
Well, I was thinking about that even a little bit more so today when I was rewatching it. And it seems like that character, because he does show up later, so he's not killed, but it kind of seems like in video game things, he's like a mid-boss almost.
Yeah, yeah.
He's there to take some lumps, but then escape and then show up again later on when you're more powerful, and then you can take him out.
I agree with that. So they have to get Jimmy, the regular Jimmy, but he's in a wheelchair, so there's a bunch of different avatar versions.
Yeah.
Popping up here and there of Jimmy.
This becomes essentially, again, another video game thing. This is the annoying, tedious escort mission.
Right, Private, it is our duty to ensure that no harm comes to the cripple. Understood? Follow on.
Don't let the cripple get below you, laddie!
Because now you have to protect something that is one shot and it's killed from a horde of enemies. Maybe in the case of this, he has some assistance, but it's pretty much Henry shooting everybody and having to protect.
Yeah, and then the nerdy version is like,
I'm gonna buy you some time!
and immediately gets killed.
Oh, there is one thing that alerts the bad guys is they discover that Henry is still broadcasting, even though earlier on, Copley pulls out a tracking device.
Right.
And this helps in repeat viewings because they do actually set that up.
Oh, do they? Because I've seen this twice and I don't
In the very beginning, when they have the machine, it starts saying, like, recording sync or something like that. One of the first things that happens when he's getting his arm installed. A little bit of dialogue, you don't think any mind of it. And that's another thing that Heather pointed out to me was, oh, look, I noticed that. I didn't notice that the first time, but there it is.
Okay.
So the big finale is on top of Akan's building. And it's basically our hero versus an army of universal soldiers.
Basically, it turns out everything Henry has been doing is a lie. It's all part of this program to make...
Almost everything.
It's...
The very first thing that we see is the only thing that isn't a lie.
Well, no, it's everything from the moment
memory,
that he...
The memory of him as a child.
Oh, you're right. That's the only thing that's not a lie. Everything else turns out that you need a motivation to get the soldiers willing to do this, and a kidnapped wife and a horrible villain fulfills that motivation. So this train of carnage that Henry has wrought throughout the town is all because they needed a reason to get these soldiers to actually be able to function properly.
So Akan is playing the role of a villain. He kills two of his guys who are expendable because that will be like a horrible I'm a villain thinks this guy means business. That gets...
I'm gonna kidnap your wife. I'm going to kill these people so you know I'm a bad person and send wave after wave of bad guys to get you. The problem is things popped off a little bit early because they obviously did not expect Jimmy to show up.
Yeah, they didn't expect Jimmy, and they also didn't expect memory. That comes back just in the nick of time. So he is beat down, broken, bloodied, and bruised. And he's got almost his last breath, and then the memory of his father who said,
"You little pussy."
It's Tim Roth, and I wonder how much they paid for him.
Yeah, it's like one day of work
for his 3 minutes of footage. Instead of just leaving it there, Tim Roth continues.
"Well, my old man called me. It's like it was my name. And I proved him right by killing all the wrong people. I love you, Henry. And I'll never call you anything but your name. But you gotta decide. Are you gonna lay there, swallow that blood in your mouth? Or are you gonna stand up, spit it out, and go spill theirs?"
And so he gets up and he makes them bleed. And then he fights Akan. And Akan is levitating and all that stuff, so he's up in the air too. And he pulls out his own eye, wraps the eye cord around Akan's mouth, and he tightens it so hard that it slices Akan's head off.
Oh, that's right.
And then his body falls through the helicopter.
And then that helicopter takes off, and he gets up, and he faces Estelle, who's been a part of this whole thing.
And she tries to play her doe eyes.
"What happened, Henry? You were supposed to love me." "Oh! Henry! Listen to your heart!"
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
Nope.
Close the door on her.
Fingers. Yeah, that's
it. The movie ends.
So, I mentioned before this movie reminds me of Crank.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely.
That wasn't a part of the other podcast, and I did want to get to that one as well because those are pretty relentless. However, again, they're way kinetic and Michael can't. He's got something to do with his equilibrium. Let's go way back to the 70s, 60s, 70s with Death Wish action movies or Dirty Harry action movies. Be an audience member back then. Imagine this, John. You've time traveled to today.
Okay.
And you have only one day to be accustomed to American cinema. And this is the movie, Hardcore Henry, that you go see. Explain your brain exploding.
I would not know what is happening at any point. There is no connective thread, almost. It's just scene after scene of violence. And the camera keeps moving. I'm going to be sick. I need to leave. Get me out of this thing. You people have become monsters. What's wrong with you?
Now, this scenario, you have the craziest thing that you've become aware of is bullet car chasing. That's the craziest. Standard old, boring old cameras not moving action. Non-action, really.
It's too frantic. if you're going to look at traditional hell, even if you compare it to most other action films out there, even like the shaky cam of the Bourne films.
Yes.
This is more kinetic and frantic. And as hard it is to follow like a Michael Bay movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially like the Transformers where things are just hitting each other pointlessly and you don't know what's...
And you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, this still is at times more difficult to follow.
All right, now changing gears, let's go to the movie Doom, starring Carl Urban and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes, the first person sequence in that is boring as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's very set up, it's designed.
It's choreographed. Yeah, you're right, it's designed.
Yeah, it was nice that they did it to honor that franchise, but...
It doesn't seem...
Yeah, it doesn't pay off in any meaningful way other than, why the hell are you doing this?
He's getting through a corridor.
And I sit there and go... Hardcore Henry is much better at presenting, even though Doom was never, until the recent one, was never really that frantic a game. As much as you were hoarded by monsters, you were never overwhelmed by stuff, so it was still kind of simple to pilot, but this film gives you a better feeling of that sort of gameplay than the Doom movie ever did of that gameplay.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
So, you say that this is pretty weird.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's like watching a person speedrun a video game. You're watching something on YouTube, more or less, because all these things are happening. You don't have any control, but since it's in first person, you are being put into that headspace. So it does that weird bridge of immersion
into this chaotic
thing, but without the actual immersion that a video game would give you. And topped off with the fact that had they done this as a standard film, you know, camera everywhere placements and you're just watching action unfold, this film wouldn't be as weird or as interesting.
Just multiple Jimmys with Charlton Copley's character, that would still be...
That would still be weird.
Weird. Right?
But
that would be like the only thing that makes this movie weird.
Yeah, everything about this film would be standard action film fare if you didn't do it in first person.
Yeah. The stunt work is amazing. The stunt crew is amazing. The choreography
looks legit. This film is a strong argument that they should actually have a stunt person Oscar.
Well, if you believe in the Oscars.
Well, there's many films that have amazing stunt work. This thing is pretty much all stunt.
But you're right. I mean, at least stuntmen and women should be honored.
Yeah, there should be some sort of recognition for the hard work that these people put themselves through. Like, there's a scene earlier in the film where he's chasing down Slick Dimitri, and he does that slide down a rail, and he smacks into a woman. That was an accident.
Oh.
But, you know, they're all stunt players, so the person getting hit, you know, takes this face dive right into a escalator step. She wasn't worried about her getting hit or anything. She was worried if she ruined the shot. From what I understand. That was the thing I pointed out in the film. I went, oh, man, they just nailed that extra. And I found it was a stunt person. I'm like, oh, okay. Damn, that must have hurt.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, watch it. You're going to be queasy. And if you don't like violence, don't watch it.
Yes. It is definitely an ultra-violent film. I do recommend it as well, but definitely maybe watch one of the music videos prior to it. Watch the trailer. If you think you're going to get motion sick,
yeah,
there's no point then because it's totally insane.
John, thanks again for suggesting this one, because I wanted to get to it anyway, so yay.
It was on TV. As I was watching it, I just texted you saying, we gotta do this.
Yeah, and we did. Thank you. Good night.
Later, everybody.
You failed.